Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It may never change. This is the new NBA. This is not your daddy's NBA. It's not even your host's NBA. I miss the NBA of the 80s when big men were a thing and you could actually bang around in the post and contact was allowed. It was a contact sport. I miss the bad boys of the Detroit Pistons. I miss guys getting leveled as they tried to come down the lane, not in my house. I miss back to the basket and up and unders. I miss the days when teams might only take three or four shots from beyond the arc because they'd prefer the higher percentage shots in the lane. I miss the basketball that was inside out instead of outside in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I appreciate your response to my conversation with Gary Pomerantz, the author of The Last Pass, about Bob Cousy, Bill Russell, and those Celtics of the 60s when it was about so much more than basketball. Jared says, fantastic interview. Wasn't expecting to hear such a powerful and honest account on my drive home from a concert. Good. I'm glad. I hope that it encourages you to go out and read the book. Like I said, I have it. I haven't been able to read the whole thing. But as someone who loves the NBA and who cut my sports broadcasting teeth on the Celtics of the 80s. So that's when I fell in love when I was a kid. And that's kind of how I decided I wanted to be in sports broadcasting, sports radio specifically. And the Celtics will always be my first love. But this was a different era. It wasn't the same time, and it wasn't just about what you saw on the court. And there's kind of two things going on here as Gary compares Bob Cousy to Alexander Hamilton, kind of the lost maestro at the point guard position. He's forgotten, but that's life, right? That's life and that's sports. There's always someone who's going to come along and do what you do and do it better. Just give it time. So when you tell me that there will never be another quarterback as great as Tom Brady, yeah, there's a chance that might happen. There's also a chance he's going to get replaced somewhere down the road by another quarterback who's going to come along and not just claim all those records, but is going to come along and win more rings. You think Joe Montana or those who look at Joe Montana's career or were contemporaries of Montana thought there might be a guy who was better or had more Super Bowl rings? I mean, there are always going to be athletes who, because they're bigger, faster, stronger, because you raise the bar higher, they come along and they do what you do and they do it better. Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, he's got a lot of wins and he was magnificent, but he spawned another generation of guys who wanted to be just like him and who are now younger and stronger and bolder and brasher. And that's a credit to Tiger because imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. I don't know how long it'll take, but someday there'll be another quarterback who's as good as Brady, who challenges the records that we now see. Someday. And so that cycle continues to spin, that it spawns the next generation, the next after that, who watch Tom Brady, who set him up as the standard, and now look at that and say, not only do I want to be the next Tom Brady, I want to be better than him. And that's just the way the world works. We're all about getting better, improving. We're all about succeeding, being the best. And it's great when you're talking about a capitalist society because it always takes us to the next best thing. But at times it can be exhausting, right? Keeping up with the Joneses. So, yeah, I mean, this era that we're living in, LeBron James, who thought that there would ever be another basketball player who might challenge Michael Jordan for the greatest of all time? And yet that debate comes up routinely. So I appreciate that it's sports, though, and it's not life or death here. We're not talking
about.
Not
two, not three, not four.
We're not talking about really serious stuff. We're talking about sports records and championships. It's not important in the grand scheme of life, but it is fun to talk about. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. 855-212-4CBS. Speaking of Tom Brady, coming up in 10 minutes. 10? Yeah, we'll say 10. Coming up in 10 minutes, I have penned an open letter to one Tom Brady, and I will share it with you. Mike is listening in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Now, I'm a former New Yorker, at least I grew up in New York, and I don't remember the Bill Russell times, but what I do remember is I remember the Earl the Pearl Monroe, Walt Frazier times in New York, and they kind of owned the city. And I don't remember them facing anything like years later Patrick Ewing did. And it was disgusting. You know what I mean?
I do. I mean, growing up as a kid, it's not something that I saw. When I went to basketball games, I didn't go to a lot of them, but it wasn't something that registered with me. But, you know, a lot of kids, young people are oblivious. I like to think that if I saw it now, there's no way it would just go over my head and I wouldn't recognize it. But just because we didn't see it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
I can't remember, to tell you the truth, I feel bad. I can't remember if with the backcourt of Frazier and Monroe, if they won a title. I can't remember. I don't think Ewing should have been treated that way. But, and again, he never did win a title, and what happens with some of these New Yorkers, and they get in the stadium, and they've lost their mind, they've had too much to drink, and, you know, the whole thing was a mess. Maybe it shouldn't even have been about him coming from Georgetown, you know what I mean? It was just a couple people that were out of line, ignorant, and had no place to be in the building, you know?
I don't know that I would agree with that. I mean, we'd have to ask Patrick Ewing, was that the only time he'd ever saw it? Was that the only time that he ever faced it? I suspect the answer is no. I mean, it's not that long ago. Was it Adam Jones, the baseball player Adam Jones, who talked about hearing racial epithets when he was in Boston? And I'm not singling out Boston. I'm just saying that's where he pointed it out. I disagree with you, Mike. I think racism, it's always going to be part of our society because we are imperfect people. We are prejudiced. We do have discrimination. It's just, we're not, sometimes we treat other people poorly. I don't know that racism is ever going to go away. Now it's not something that you'll see as often because more people in a stadium, say, or in a group setting are likely to speak up, are likely to report you, are likely to notice it. And so it's become much more taboo in public, which I appreciate that it now offends our consciousness. But it's not going away, and it's never just been a handful of people. I mean, You live in the United States. That's not accurate. Racism and discrimination are always going to be a part of any society.
I agree. It's true. On to another topic. Isn't it interesting how baseball, with their pitch counts, and how basketball, the way it's refereed these days, and how football is starting to ease up on contact, all three of the big three American sports have softened up. And a lot of people like you and I don't like it. We wish it was the way it used to be.
When was baseball ever a contact sport?
I just remember the hustle of Pete Rose. He played when he was injured, you know, and now these prima donnas are like, well, wait, I got a hangnail. I'm going to have to miss a couple games.
I mean, I think that's kind of a blanket statement. I don't think they're all like that. There are certainly athletes who play hurt. Baseball, I don't know if it applies. They're obviously trying to take out career-ending injuries, like the collisions that would lead to career-ending injuries, if that's what you're referring to. I don't. Soft is maybe not the word I would use. I think it's all about facilitating offense. It's about facilitating scoring. It's about trying to get as many points up there on the board in the NFL and in the NBA because that's what dazzles the fans and that's what attracts the fans. And the rules have facilitated that type of atmosphere with space and movement and room. And, you know, if you hand check or you breathe on a guy, now it's a foul. But it's really all about trying to boost scoring and trying to boost the offense, which, I mean, we've seen that both in the NBA and the NHL, as well as the NFL.
I appreciate you starting my everyday weekday morning.
Well, not tomorrow, but thanks.
I know. I heard. Take care.
All right, Mike. Have a great day. 855-212-4227. A lot of you are weighing in about the most hated team in sports. And every time I see one of your tweets pop up, A-Law Radio, or I see a post on our Facebook page, I laugh because I really brought it up to prove a point. I didn't expect that we would make it our overarching conversation for this entire show. I brought it up to prove a point, which is that Boogie Cousins believes the Warriors are the most hated team in sports, and that's fine. I mean, he points to Kevin Durant's a villain, and everybody hates me, of course, and even Steph Curry now, as likable as he is, people hate him too because of the shimmy and because of all the records, and because sports fans get tired of hearing about the same teams over and over, but when they win, we talk about them. When they win, you hear about them. And I'm just trying to point out that the hated teams are generally the most successful teams, the ones that get talked about the most, the ones that get more TV appearances than any other. And it's because they transcend their particular game. I mean, the Warriors, a lot of them are household names now. And I think you could say the same thing about some of the Patriots, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, for sure. The Dallas Cowboys, that's a team that kind of transcends its sport. And all of these same names that you gave me last week for America's team, now on the flip side, they're the ones that you're saying to me are the most hated. So it's really just about proving a point. But if you don't agree with Boogie Cousins, and a lot of you don't, I would love to hear from you on Twitter or on Facebook. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. Coming up, my open letter to one Tom Brady. Football is about to get funner with Skittles, Snickers, and M&M brands. The official sponsors of Super Bowl 53. Pump up your party all postseason long. Though you don't have much more time. There's only 3 games left. That's how I started my column, my weekly column, as I was previewing Championship Sunday. We're down to 3 games. This is it. We're essentially down to 2 days of football, unless you're really into the combine and watching guys work out, which is not my thing. Okay, coming up, my open letter to Tom Brady. I need him to know that he's wrong. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Four receiver set. Brady in the pocket. Brady floats it left side. Caught! Philip Dorsett! Touchdown! New England! A strike from Brady on the floater. 15 yards. And the Patriots are clicking.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. I know everyone thinks we suck and, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The defiant, competitive Tom Brady making an appearance with Tracy Wolfson on CBS following we'll just call it a rout against the Los Angeles Chargers in the first time in their playoff history that the Patriots have ever scored 4 touchdowns on their first 4 possessions of a postseason game. It was over by halftime, and Brady had not only that pass to Philip Dorsett, which was Philip's first ever postseason score, but the run game was phenomenal, and that rest definitely worked for the Patriots as well as the other 3 teams that were coming off byes. And so we move forward into Championship Sunday with the top 4 teams. So each of the top 2 seeds in the AFC, the NFC, that has not happened since 2015. And because all 4 of the teams with byes advanced to Championship Sunday, it extends a trend that goes back to the 2012 season. Every team to play in the Super Bowl, both the winner and the loser, since the 2012 season, which is the 13 Bowl, every single one of those teams has had a bye. So that rest, that time to recover and recuperate, have you seen the injury reports for the Patriots and the Chiefs? It's almost non-existent. Pretty much everybody's healthy. And again, that's a benefit to having a bye. And the Patriots are playing up this underdog role now. Did you hear the latest?
No, everyone thinks we suck.
Well, yes, Tom Brady, everyone thinks we suck. But Julian Edelman posted a hype video on Wednesday on his Twitter account with the accompanying hashtag, bet against us. It's amazing that the Patriots can somehow brand themselves as underdogs and us against the world. It's amazing. And yet, of course, the fan base is eating it up like nobody's business. So then Edelman uses this hashtag, bet against us, and there's a link. He tweets a link selling T-shirts that say bet against us in a silhouette of the Patriots logo.
No, everyone thinks we suck.
I kind of feel like Tom Brady could sell T-shirts with everybody thinks we suck on them too. Please. How many times I've rolled my eyes because I've heard that over and over and over again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Many of you are pointing to the Patriots as the most hated team in sports, just like many of you told me last week, the Patriots are America's team. And the same qualities that would make them America's team, the success, transcending their sport, high profile, lots of interest, household names, all of those things lend themselves to jealousy. And then, of course, you have people who want them to lose. So do you remember, if you're with us on last night's show, there was a guy who, we were toying around with the Tom Brady audio, and there was a guy who wrote from the Bay Area and said, I have news for you. That's how he started his tweet. I have news for you. Out here in the Bay Area, where Tom Brady is from, we all think they suck, and we all, he said everyone, millions of people, thought they were going to lose, or, you know, like picked them to lose. And I wrote back to him and said, just because you want it to be so does not make it true. And so, of course, the people who are tired of hearing about the Patriots or tired of having their teams lose to the Patriots, of course you are picking. If you're picking with your heart, you're thinking, oh, yeah, this is the year. I wouldn't actually bet against them if I were you. The T-shirt might be fun, but I wouldn't bet against them. And in light of Brady's comment to Tracy Wolfson on CBS, everybody thinks we suck. Well, I decided to pen a short open letter to Mr. Brady. I wish he was on Twitter. I think he has a Facebook page, but I don't think there's any way he would ever see it. Otherwise, I would actually send it to him. If he had a Twitter account, I would. And I know he's on Instagram too, right? Does he have a Twitter account? He might. Maybe he joined Twitter recently. That might be a thing. I wrote a column this week about Championship Sunday in which I previewed what's different. What's different about the Patriots and Chiefs now that wasn't the case week 6 in the regular season when they played in Foxborough. And also about the Rams and the Saints. What's different from their matchup in week 9 when they played in New Orleans during the regular season? They were both high-scoring, high-octane games, a lot of points and a lot of yards, and really entertaining. But it's different now in the postseason. And so I wrote this column. And as always, I send the column to my mom because she wants to be one of the first people to read it. And she responded with what I thought would be the perfect little note to share with Tom Brady. So here goes. This is if I'm, imagine me sitting here at my desk, and I've got a pen in hand. I do enjoy writing handwritten cards. I send them to people all the time. Thank you notes, birthday cards, and just little surprises to say hello. So, dear Tom Brady, my mom has picked the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. She sent me this email on Wednesday. I think the Pats will win this year. My mom, who admittedly knows nothing about football, routinely tells me that Julian Edelman is her favorite player. She knows what you look like when she maybe knows 3 players by face in the NFL. So, in honor of my mom, I want you to know not everybody thinks you suck. My mom thinks you're going to win. She doesn't bet, so she won't bet against you. And maybe nobody cares what my mom thinks, but I have it in writing. Quote, I think the Pats will win this year. Signed, Amy Lawrence and Mary Lou. XO. See, Tom Brady, not everybody thinks you suck. Legit, this is my mom's email, I swear. I'm like reading it off of email. And I tweeted this earlier just because it's so funny. So she read my column. You write so well. I mean, whatever. Mom loves my writing. You write so well, and I love all your adjective descriptions. She's always telling me, those verbs, they're so descriptive. And then she writes, now I didn't ask her, right? I don't make predictions. So there was no prediction in my column about who was going to win championship Sunday and get to the Super Bowl. She finishes up with, I think the Pats will win this year, ... I don't know where she came up with that. I don't know why she didn't expand. All I know is she could probably name, well, could she name the other three quarterbacks? I bet if I gave her some hints, she could name Drew Brees. I don't think she could name Pat Mahomes. Definitely couldn't pick Jared Goff out of the lineup. And I'm pretty positive if I asked her which three teams were playing in the NFL this weekend, she could name those because she read the column. Otherwise, she is the classic example of how not everybody thinks the Pats suck. Diehard sports fans, diehard NFL fans who want their teams to win and are tired of seeing the Patriots win. Yeah, those fans might say the Patriots suck or might hate them. But just take it from me. My mom is a perfect gauge. Outside of our little diehard sports bubble, most people are impressed by the Patriots. Casual fans, whoa, Tom Brady. I bet my mom could name Bill Belichick only because we lived in New England for quite a while. I grew up in New England. And she can name Julian Edelman. She probably can't name another member of the Patriots. And that's the point. The point is, casual fans, they know the Patriots win. Casual fans know Tom Brady. Casual fans know Steph Curry. Casual fans know the Warriors. Casual fans, well, they know the Yankees win a lot. So you get outside of your little hardcore bubble where it's all life and death and honestly, the reason why the Patriots get more attention is because they draw in casual fans. It's the same thing with, say, the Warriors. It's the same thing with any team that has a bit of extended success. And most of the time, it's not the same angst if you get away from those of us who are entrenched and embedded in sports. No, it's, wow, that's really impressive. They won again. Like, it's enough of a storyline and enough extended success that even people who don't follow football on a regular basis, they know who these teams are and they know who some of these players are. Now, again, take it from me. I do quarterback quizzes with my mom. She used to think Peyton Manning's younger brother was Phil. I mean, my mom doesn't know anything about football, really, except for what she reads in my columns, and every now and then we end up watching a game together. But after a half, she's like, can we turn that off? It's so boring. That's what she says about my show, too. I listened for a couple of hours, but after that, I had to turn it off because I was so bored, and I didn't know what you're talking about. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the appeal outside of this bubble of sports fans where we reside most of the time. Honestly, it's impressive to a casual fan what Tom Brady does. Maybe they only tune in to watch the Super Bowl, and so they get to see him on a regular basis. The casual fans are in awe of him and admire him. And I said this to Dave and Chris. Now, they are Jets fans, so they're kind of coming from the spot of, hey, can the Patriots dynasty just be done? Because it would be nice to have somebody else win in the AFC East. But what's not to like about Tom Brady? If you're outside the hardcore bubble, what's not to like? He's like the All-American boy. I mean, a lot richer. But if you take the money out of it, he's successful. He's attractive. He's got a beautiful wife. Three really cute kids. He does videos of them jumping into leaves. I mean, what's not to like? He represents himself, his family, and the NFL relatively well. I know people will point back to the whole Deflategate thing. Man, the NFL blew that up. It did not need to be that ridiculously overblown. He's not a cheater. Either way, there's not much that you could point to him and say he's not likable.
Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look.
There are plenty of athletes that I could point to and say, okay, yeah, no. If I didn't work in this business, I wouldn't like them. But I mean, what's not to like about Tom Brady? We love winners in the United States of America. We love winners, but then we get jealous of them. Dear Tom Brady, my mom thinks the Pats will win. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Third down and six. White to the right of Brady. Two receivers right, including Gronk in the slot. Edelman along with Dorsett left. Julian with short motion as Brady takes the snap. Back in the pocket. Throws a lob. Dorsett's wide open. Touchdown, Patriots. In the left corner of the end zone.
Now everyone thinks we suck.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Bob Soucy with the call on the Patriots Radio Network. At some point, I'll be excited to stop hearing Tom Brady say, everybody thinks we suck. It seems to be I'll go half. Half of you that are finding me on Twitter and Facebook about the most hated team in sports are going with the New England Patriots, which, you know, just a week ago we were talking about America's team, and probably at least a third of people who responded were labeling the Patriots America's team. So they can actually be one and the same. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And yes, Tom Brady and the game against the Chargers was on CBS. And so you got to hear that that snippet of conversation with Tracy Wolfson. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So I think it's funny when producer Chris put up a spot on our Facebook page for you to weigh in about the most hated team in sports. He included logos of four teams, but not the Patriots. So maybe that's kind of, fooling people and sending them off in another direction. It's not actually a choice among these four teams. It's who is the most hated team in sports? A completely open-ended question. I didn't think the conversation was going to be that interesting, but you're blowing up both my social media on Facebook and on Twitter. And then you can give us a call to 855-212-4227. Coming up next hour, I'm a glutton for punishment, or I'm a wimp. Actually, those two things could be synonymous as well. It's getting really close. A week away from the polar bear plunge in the Chesapeake Bay to benefit Special Olympics with the Maryland State Police. And coming up next hour, I want you to understand why I'm doing it. But it's not just me. There are thousands of people who will be plunging into the Chesapeake Bay to benefit Special Olympics in Maryland. But this is also something that you get around the country with law enforcement. So I didn't realize this until I was spending some time kind of getting background and talking with a member of the state police in Maryland. And he told me that this is actually the partner charity for the majority of law enforcement around the country. And so Special Olympics is obviously about providing training and competitions to athletes year-round with no cost. That's what they do. And it's Olympic-type sports. It's children. It's adults. And the idea is that there should be no limits on their opportunities, regardless of whatever intellectual disabilities they might have. And sports and physical fitness are important for everybody, no matter your age, no matter your background, no matter your body type, no matter your height, no matter your weight, no matter what color you are. The benefits of physical fitness and sport are proven scientifically. I mean, just the idea of endorphins and how when you work out, this is why I run, because I love how I feel when I'm done. I really don't like running, but I like the effects and the benefits of running. And that benefit that comes from playing sports and competing and staying fit, it also gives us the opportunity to show courage and heart and character and determination and to push through when things are difficult. So fight through adversity. These are all life lessons that we can take away from sports. And that should be the same for those who have any type of a disability as well. It shouldn't just be limited to people who are, you know, athletic and intellectually completely capable. It's something that should be offered to every human being. And so I was really excited to find out that this is actually something that law enforcement does all over the country, even as much as I'll, you know, be talking about Maryland. So there are nearly 7,800 Special Olympics athletes in Maryland alone, and they compete and train in 27 different sports. And this is the 23rd plunge. And listen to this. This is the world's largest polar bear plunge in the Chesapeake Bay, with about 10,000 people who will be plunging into frigid waters off Annapolis, Maryland, a week from, well, it starts, actually, I think it starts on Thursday of next week. There's a bunch of different plunges. There's high schoolers, there's corporations. The governor is in the same plunge as I am, or I'm in the same plunge as he is. And there's peewees, and there's families, and there's different teams. And so as much as I am not excited about the frigid waters, in fact, I'm feeling more and more wimpy. Here's the thing. If I don't go in the water and dunk all the way, will you still love me? If I just go up to my waist? Now I'm reconsidering. Except I feel like the eyes of Adam Gase will be watching me. So I what do you think, guys? If I only go in up to my waist and the water is 30 degrees, what if there is ice floating in the water? Then do I have your permission to only go in up to my waist?
Nah, you got it. You've been talking this one up for weeks and weeks. We got to follow through.
Oh,
you
I've been
through.
Signed up for months. Months. Dave, can you please stand with me here?
As much as I'd love to. You got to go in. You got to dive all the way in head first. You got to do it.
Well, I can't go head first. Apparently, you're not supposed to dive for some reason, like the bottom of this area, this particular park, you're not supposed to dive. The state police guy, Greg is his name, told me that people do it every year, but you're not supposed to. So I will be going in upright. He says you take three big running steps and you're in the water because you have to wear shoes. You three big running steps, you're in the water, and then you get up to your waist and you just dunk. You just dunk your head. Maybe we can make it a race and I can be the first one in and the first one out. What do you think?
If it's done, it's done. Doesn't matter how it gets done.
Somebody tells me though, or something tells me that the governor is going to need to be the first one in. Oh my gosh. That's my only hope, is that with the governor in the same plunge as me and all these amazing people, right? Law enforcement, first responders, all these really awesome people, much tougher people than me, that the TV cameras will not see me off in the corner quivering with fear and freezing my rear end off.
You got to do play-by-play for the governor.
I don't want you. Oh, gosh. Yeah, the closer it gets, the worse I feel about it. However, they gave me an opportunity to back out, and I said no. I said absolutely I was not backing out. So come next week, I will be hosting my show from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. I've done shows in D.C. before at our D.C. affiliate, which is 106.7, but I've never been to our Baltimore affiliate specifically. So I appreciate that Baltimore is going to host me. That will put me closer to Annapolis. So the idea is do the show that morning. I believe we're going to have an athlete in studio as well who competes for Special Olympics, which will be really cool. Do the show, get off the air, drive to Annapolis. Do you think there's any possibility that I could sleep for even like 90 minutes? Probably not. Not with the idea that very soon I will be plunging into frigid waters. Anyway, so that's the idea, is to get to Annapolis and then to participate in all the hullabaloo and the hype and the excitement. And then to plunge. I guess I could be one of those people. This seems like a really appealing idea. I could be one of those people who says they're going to run a marathon or a half marathon and then shows up at mile number 12, or if it's a full marathon, mile number 24, and just runs the last two so that, you know, you're sweaty and you look like you've been running, but you haven't actually run the whole thing. Maybe I could take a bucket of water and dump it over my head and look like I have plunged into the water.
No.
Fine. Great.
I can't lie!
Well, I actually am a very good liar. I choose not to lie anymore, but I'm a very good liar. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. Jeffrey says, I'm doing the plunge too. All right. That's awesome. Let's see. Greg says on Twitter, most hated team for me is the Pittsburgh Steelers, then the Patriots, then the Ravens, and then the Warriors. He's got a whole list. Richie on Twitter, this is what makes sports and being a sports fan fun, having that love for a team and hate jealousy of another. Mind you, at the end of the day, I can be objective and praise greatness, even if I cheer against it and them. It comes with age or being a Leaf fan since the mid-70s. Well, I appreciate the fact that you actually have some perspective. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I know that that has changed for me since I started working in this business. There certainly were times when I felt like I hated other teams. So growing up in New England as a Celtics fan, I couldn't stand the Lakers. Couldn't stand the Lakers. But now I don't feel that way anymore. Now having to step back, I mean, it's not as though I cheer for every team out there. But having to step back and be objective on the show, and knowing that when I walk in the studio, there's no way I can appeal to a national audience if I can't speak objectively about every team that's out there. It doesn't mean I always praise them, but it means I am an equal opportunity endorser as well as an equal opportunity critic. So if you deserve to be praised, you get praised. If you deserve to be called out, well, then you get criticized and called out. And I think that's kind of beaten some of that hatred out of me. Also, this idea that I see it in cycles, right? I mean, sports is cyclical. So while there are some teams like the Patriots and like the Warriors who will stick around for longer, like we talked about the Celtics of the 60s, there are some teams that will establish themselves and will remain on top for an extended period of time. So they separate themselves from the pack. That's not the norm. Generally, sports are cyclical, and eventually what's down is up and what's up is down. Do you know Tim Roy, who's the play-by-play voice of the Warriors, remembers the days when they won, but 9 games? I mean, they sucked not that long ago. They were terrible, and they drafted well, and they brought in the right free agents, and they built the team from the ground up, and they got the right coach. They got the right general manager. All of this stuff is cyclical. I can remember the days. This is a true story. Growing up in New England, my stepdad took us to a Patriots game at the old stadium, not Gillette Stadium, and there were no fans in the stands, to the point where you could hear people on the other side of the stadium yelling things. And there was a guy, a huge drunk guy, who was maybe 4 rows behind us the entire time. The drunker he got, the louder it was. We want Grogan. We want Grogan. Steve Grogan, who is the backup quarterback. There was nobody there. That was resonating all over the stadium. So I can remember the days pre-Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady where the Patriots actually did suck. That's not today, Tom.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.